What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, and Graham Barfield. Welcome back, Graham. Did you have a good week off?
Yeah, it was a good week.
Nice.
Nice little week. You had a little bit of time off, too.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, this is the first time.
That's right.
First time we've been
he's
back
getting,
all
He's getting time off from sleep right
the
now.
The yeah. first time we've all been back together as a group since then. Yeah. We're learning to sleep. You know, it's a process.
No sleep.
Yeah. It's a process. Mm-hmm. But it's good. It definitely things are good.
Is it still like waking up in the middle of the night and
yeah. Oh man. Like I have learned what 3 o'clock in the morning looks like so well. I can tell you that there's nothing on TV. There's a lot of infomercials. So I think I found 3 new juicers.
Hey.
All sorts of stuff like that. So, yeah, that's good. Otherwise, it's very good. I got lots to talk about today. We will finish up our rookies to watch with some quarterbacks and some tight ends. And I'm going to tell you guys out there now, like, at least for the next 6 weeks, this is a Game of Thrones stan podcast. So we are going to wrap up the show with a little bit of recap of episode 1. We will give you a heads up in case you haven't watched it yet, which where have you been? So you won't miss any. So we won't have any spoilers or
watched it 3 times already.
Right. So if you don't want spoilers, we'll give you a heads up before we start talking about it. Also, you know, if you're just not a Game of Thrones person, we'll put it at the end so you can, you know, listen to the podcast and then you can go on and do whatever else.
Do you see people like on social media, like they'll put together these like little things on Facebook, like all proud that they don't watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah, no one cares.
Like, you're missing out.
No one cares.
The worst type of person on social media is one that bashes what other people genuinely love. It's just like,
I know,
okay,
just
let, great.
Whatever, let people
dude.
Enjoy
yeah,
things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just let people enjoy things.
Mm-hmm.
I got plenty of news to talk about, but first before we do that, let's go behind the glass as always and talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
I have something to admit. Hand up. I really thought for a hot minute that Russell Wilson was not going to be a Seattle Seahawk and almost become a New York football giant. And yes, Fabs, I know the Cowboys fan, you could laugh at me, but I actually did think that it almost would happen. And then I wake up and you see like that
Is
really
that,
strange
that
video.
Weird video, right?
So yeah, not only were my dreams crushed, I was kind of just also grossed out by the
Did you also see that Francesa is on a massive like losing streak? Like he said Virginia couldn't win the national championship. He had Tiger as
fairness, Francesca's always on a map.
Nil chance to win the Masters, and then he said the Seahawks are trying to dump Russell Wilson.
He signed right up.
He knows that, and then he just signed the biggest deal.
Oh no, it's like the Costanza. Yeah. It's everything. It's like just the opposite. So I mean,
I love Francesca too, but I mean it's funny.
I will say I did have a moment where I'm like, could he possibly not be a Seahawk?
I'm not alone.
Part of me actually wondered whether or not the Seahawks are going to call his bluff, right? Like, if, you know, he said, this is the deadline, and if we don't do it, I'm never going to negotiate it. Part of me was like, what happens if they don't? But I guess we'll never find out now.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. We'll never know.
There you go. So there's a whole lot of other stuff to talk about, so let's do some news.
Through the news.
All right, we will start in the NFC West. Todd Gurley, according to Sean McVay, says he's feeling pretty good. And McVay, this was on the Rich Eisen show recently, says that Gurley will remain the focal point of the offense. In fact, let's take a listen to what Sean McVay had to say.
You can expect Todd to be the focal point of our offense again as we move forward. He's feeling good. He's in a good place. You know, I just think the natural ebbs and flows when he played 19 games, and I know he missed a couple with the amount of work that he got. You know, it just worked out that way at the end of the year. But he got a very similar workload in 17. And, you know, the anticipation for us is he's in a good place. He's feeling good. And he's going to continue to be a central part of our offense, you know, going into the 19 season. And I don't see that changing.
Okay, so listening to him, right, and having heard him talk all offseason long about Todd Gurley and you know, I just feel like, I'll just say it, do we believe Sean McVay? I feel like the story has been shifting since the Super Bowl, and I'm going to say that I'm not 100% confident in what he's saying right now.
So I have a mutual friend with Todd Gurley, and that mutual friend has told me on more than one occasion that Todd is fine and that he is going to be 100% for the start of next season. And any fantasy person who lets too many players get drafted ahead of him is a fool. So I mean, this is like one of Todd's best friends. So take that for what you will. I moved Gurley up to 3. I had him at 5. I moved him up to 3.
I'm still pretty freaking worried, to be honest with you.
I still think, you know, I've seen some fantasy folks say that they're not going to touch him in the first round. I still think that's a little ludicrous.
That's obscene.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I still had him somewhere around 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. I can't see him dropping out of the first round.
I mean,
no.
A couple months ago, jeez. We were just talking about Gurley having arthritis in his knee. I mean, mm-hmm. that doesn't go away.
Right.
I mean, look, he's got over 700 touches over the last 2 seasons, and he has arthritis in his knee, and he's only 26 years old. That doesn't really sound too great long term, but I mean, for 1 year, if we can get one more year where he gets 280 to 330 touches, like he's
gonna say, go off, but... say the Rams draft Damian Harris or they draft Darrell Henderson. How much would that curb your enthusiasm on Gurley?
I don't know, because will they draft a running back, though?
See, that's the thing.
They need a running back, though.
Well, here's the thing. I have a feeling they're going to go back to the Malcolm Brown well.
They'll go to Malcolm Brown. They have John Kelly
well.
I mean, John Kelly.
John Kelly's a good running back.
I love John Kelly coming out. He had a couple good preseason runs, but he did not do too well in his limited NFL carries last year.
I don't know, man. If the Rams don't draft a running back or don't add somebody to that backfield, that makes me even more confident in Gurley.
Yeah. Maybe that'll be the stepping stone then, because if they don't draft a running back with any additional capital, mm-hmm. Obviously they didn't bring back C.J. Anderson. Probably does bode well for Gurley's health, at least just this year. Mm-hmm. But I'm still pretty concerned about his knee.
So the other part of that, though, is this, I won't say the last year that you can lean on him as just a full-on workhorse, but is this maybe the last year where we are talking about him, you know, in a top 3 draft position? I mean, if he gets the kind of workload he's gotten the last few years, there is that cliff that we all worry about.
Yeah, I mean, if he comes out and has another big season, though, how far can he fall? It's not like he's 29, 30. He's still a young dude.
Yeah, but he's also a guy who had, you know, knee issues in college. He's had some sort of issues here in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, look, I'm sure if he has another big year, we'll be here a year from now, and we'll be talking about Todd Gurley back in the top 3 again. Mm-hmm. You know, us fantasy folk tend to worry.
Yes, they do.
I just, because we're normal people, we have no idea what it's like to carry the ball 17 times in an NFL game for 4 years in a row. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Especially coming off of a pretty major injury, coming out of college, and now he has arthritis. Like, we're normal people. We have no idea. I complain when my elbow gets a little bit sore. I mean, right. I can't imagine what it'd be like to run in the NFL with arthritis in my knee.
But I have had, like, for a month, my elbow has been killing me, right? Mm. And so I went to Neil Gadadra, our pal.
Oh, yeah, Dr.
And,
Neil.
And basically said, I have tennis elbow. I've never played tennis in my life, but I have tennis elbow. And he shot me up with cortisone. Dude, that's a magic elixir right there, man, because now I'm going to go out and play golf tomorrow morning. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, you know, I was watching the Varsity Blues last night. And watching Lance Harbor get like his knee shot up with stuff, you know, like I imagine what they're giving in the NFL is
they
probably
got
a little
stuff. Yeah, they got
probably,
stuff
probably a little stronger than what they got at West Canaan High.
Yeah, I've never had a cortisone shot, but I would imagine it's probably even stronger than that.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
Other news about the Rams that seems a little bit more cut and dry. McVay says the goal is to have Cooper Kupp ready for Week 1. Obviously, he had the knee injury that cut his year short last season. The only thing I look at with Cooper Kupp, Graham, is that I think he will be the reason that I think Robert Woods is overdrafted this year. I think a lot of people will look at Woods' numbers last year, sort of forget what Kupp means to that offense, and Woods, I think he's a good player, I just think he's going to get overdrafted this year.
Agreed. And Cooper Kupp's, I think, six full games last year, he had at least 5 catches and or 60 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, he was on pace for over 1,000 yards and double-digit touchdowns.
I mean, he was legitimately one of the most mm-hmm. consistent fantasy receivers last year, and I guess now we just have to hope that he's back to, like, you know, 90% of his former self coming off the ACL.
What's your order of Rams wide receivers? Because I have Woods, Kupp, and then Cooks.
Yes.
Yes.
Unless Kupp has some sort of setback, in which case I would alter that.
Then you rearrange it.
But then that comes down to value, and I think Woods will end up going in that 5th-6th range, and then we'll get the injury discount off Kupp. I know you're a big Kupp fan.
I'm a big Kupp fan. Yeah, no, and I mean, I think objectively thinking about it, yes, I think Woods is probably going to be the first guy off the board, understandably. Mm-hmm. I just think people are going to reach for him based on what happened last year and forget that, you know, Cooper's going to eat into his targets a little bit.
That Bobby Woods eighth to ninth round value, that was
great. Nice. That was great. That's also gone.
That is gone.
Those days are over.
Yep.
More wide receiver news. Demaryius Thomas has landed in New England. Fabs, the last time we saw Demaryius, it wasn't particularly great. A guy who's certainly on the downside of his career. The upside here, he's familiar with Josh McDaniels.
Knows the offense. That's the upside. And the Patriots desperately need help at wide receiver. But when is he going to be available to get out there? I mean, he's coming off of a very serious ailment, and an ailment that I believe could keep him on the PUP list to start the season. So I don't even know that Demaryius Thomas is a draftable fantasy asset at this point.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm just not sure that he is necessarily. But the thing about it is, you know, the Patriots are still sort of, I don't know, Patriots wide receivers, right? I mean, there's Julian Edelman, and then there's kind of, what, throw a dart and try to figure out who the next guy is.
Yeah, I mean, you got Dorsett. I mean, they have Maurice Harris.
Yeah, he tore his Achilles in mid-December.
I know.
That's going to be a really quick turn.
Right, I know. Like,
get back for training camp.
I know. Yeah, like, so. I mean, he's almost guaranteed to end up on the PUP, right?
I would think so.
So
we'll see. But he is in New England. He's working out there at least as much as he can be, learning the playbook, hanging out, you know, eating avocado milkshakes or whatever, avocado ice cream with Tom Brady, all that stuff.
Who knew that Tom Brady was so funny? His Twitter
least,
account is actually like pretty entertaining.
Or his social media people.
Exactly.
Funny.
Or whomever is running
whatever it is.
Media account.
Yeah, I mean, Tom following him.
Tom has probably fired off a few of those tweets.
I would think so.
Maybe.
I would think so. Yeah. Hunter Henry, about his knees, says, quote, "I'm pretty much full go. I got nothing else to say, but that's good news," right? That's all I got to say about that.
He's in my top five at tight end.
So I guess the question, yeah, so top five, certainly. I mean, not before, what, round nine, eight, maybe?
I'd say that's probably the ballpark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say that's probably the ballpark.
Yeah, there's just a huge cliff after the top four.
Right.
Yep.
By the way, congratulations to George Kittle, who got married recently.
He did.
Yeah, he just threw it up on Instagram. So congratulations, man.
Good for him.
Another catch for George Kittle. Just keep making catches.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Wentz says his back is not fully healed, says
not
it's
what I wanted to
getting
hear.
There. Right. I mean, so, Graham, we've been through a couple years. He has yet to play a full season. When he's on the field and healthy, we know how good he can be in a deep quarterback situation. We know how deep the position is. I mean, where are you taking a chance on him? Is he a, you know, do you draft him, kind of double up and hope that he's ready, or what would you do with him?
Wentz was on pace for another 30 touchdowns last season, but we now have another back problem that compounds a previous one, a separate one that he had at North Dakota State. He had a back issue and obviously tore his ACL. I mean, I want to believe that this has just been a bunch of hard luck injuries and everything's fine. But I mean, the back problems are the long-term concerns. That being said, I mean, Carson Wentz running this offense that's been retooled and revamped and is already better again somehow this offseason. It's definitely a situation I'm going to be monitoring all summer, and I'm still slotting Winston is a QB1, the back end of the top 10, top 12. But yeah, for now, we just have to kind of keep our fingers crossed because we don't have the Nick Foles.
We don't have the Nick Foles. Yeah.
Foles binky to fall back.
You also have some of the draft experts out there having the Eagles take a wide receiver in the draft, too. So you had another weapon potentially there. just get healthy, Carson.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. We just need to keep him healthy, and then I think everything flows from there.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of staying healthy, Marcus Mariota is putting on some weight, saying he wants to stay healthy for a full year.
Is that how you stay healthy for a full year? You put on 10 pounds?
I mean, I guess when you run and you take the beating that he takes, I guess that's the plan. Yeah. My question is, does this make the Titans offense any more dynamic and exciting?
Just give the ball to Derrick Henry. That's all I want.
I feel like I unfairly slander the Titans offense. I feel like it's better than I give it credit for, but just the idea of it just bores me.
Well, they've been a boring offense for the past 5 or 6 years, and last year we kind of expected that not to happen, and everyone died.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the point. So, I hope for the best. I hope that something happens down there in Tennessee. Just the idea of the Titans offense, it just bores me. Panthers have added a new wide receiver. They get Chris Hogan, who was underwhelming in New England.
He was... quietly one of the bigger busts because everyone was on board with him.
Oh, we thought for sure.
Unreal. And then, ugh, no good.
So in Carolina, is he? Does he come back to being productive?
I mean, to me, I'm drafting DJ Moore. I'm drafting Curtis Samuel, and that's probably about it at the wide receiver position in Carolina.
I mean, honestly, as many snaps as Hogan played last year and as little of a difference that he made on those snaps, I don't think I just want to keep drafting Samuel and Moore.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about it. Finally, Ty Montgomery signs with the Jets. Do anything for anybody?
Nope.
All right.
I mean, does he become the primary handcuff ahead of Elijah Maguire for Le'Veon Bell? I don't know about that. That's about all the value he'll have.
Yeah.
He's got a three down back who can catch 80 balls ahead of him on the depth chart.
Right. And they had to replace kind of the passing down back because Bilal Powell, his career is probably over. He hurt his neck in the last year. So they had to get some depth there.
Mm-hmm. I just, you know, Ty Montgomery, it's like what I say about Duke Johnson, right? You know, decent running back, Browns have better running backs. Decent receiver, Browns have better receivers. Ty Montgomery's sort of that same situation with the Jets, except I don't even know that he's as good as Duke Johnson.
That's a great point.
What do you think of the Jets' new jerseys?
Ugh.
Okay, Marcus doesn't like them.
Not a fan.
I liked them before. This is funny. I liked them before or after, like more before they leaked. Mm-hmm. Before they leaked, when we kind of got the crappy image, I was like, these aren't that bad. Then we get the full images, and I'm like,
yeah, not a fan.
See, I wanted,
I like the helmets. How do you feel about the helmets?
I like the color.
Yeah.
Better.
I don't know. I like the helmets, but the weird like green stripe over the middle of the black, like the all black, it's just
They're like a team you see in a movie, right? Like the team that doesn't get the,
A
movie that doesn't get the licensing rights for actual NFL logos. You know, like they're playing the New York Airplanes. Right. You know, it's like, okay.
Well, they were comparing them to what CFL team, like the Rough Riders or somebody like that. I don't remember.
I heard
who it
the
was.
I saw
kind of look like CFL.
I saw comparisons to Marshall University. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So I don't know. There you go. That's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there's no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. You easy to understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections such as the 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of NFL Fantasy Live a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at nfllive.robinhood.com. All right, we are about a week away from the draft. Mm-hmm. It will start a week from tomorrow. So we've been going through the rookies to watch. We did some running backs. Well, you guys did running backs when I wasn't here. Mm-hmm. Fabs and I did wide receivers last week. So this week, figure we double up, do the quarterbacks and tight ends because, you know, the two positions aren't necessarily super deep. But combined, we can, you know, get something out of this. So I started the list with Kyler Murray. I mean, is there anywhere – I guess first off, does anybody believe he's not going to Arizona?
Daniel Jeremiah seems to believe that might not happen. If you read his latest mock draft, I still tend to believe that it will. And it's a very good landing spot because the coach has a whole ton of faith in him, believes that he could be maybe the next Russell Wilson. And if he does end up going to a team like the Cardinals, that's going to put him in a position to be the starter in week one. I've said it a million times. I'll say it a million more times. Rookie quarterbacks who can run with the football, have success from a fantasy perspective. And I looked out all time, single season rookie rushing totals. And Robert Griffin III, 815 yards, was a really good fantasy quarterback as a rookie. Cam Newton, 706 yards, really good quarterback in his rookie season from a fantasy standpoint. Lamar Jackson was third at 695. Vince Young came in at fifth. I mean, Russell Wilson at seventh. There are a lot of good quarterbacks out there. I get it. It's a deep position. But when you get somebody this young, this athletic, who's more accurate than Lamar Jackson coming out of college, who can run with a football with the success of a Kyler Murray. This guy is probably going to be overdrafted in redrafts, but if he ends up with the Cardinals, that's a reason to get excited about him.
You know, I keep coming back to, I just want Arizona to go out and also draft a wide receiver while they're at it.
Well,
you know,
if there's plenty of them to go after.
That's the thing. So yeah. if you get Kyler Murray at number one and come back in the second or third round and get yourself a wide receiver, because they've got to do something there.
No doubt. I mean, you know, Larry Fitzgerald's not going to be there forever.
Yeah, I like Christian Kirk quite a bit. I might end up higher on him than a lot of people. Hopefully he's back healthy. But yeah, I don't know, man. I still think the most plausible outcome here is either they're going to take – the Cardinals will take him at one, or the Raiders are going to use one of those
– move up.
Yeah, they're going to use those three first-round picks and move up.
Yep.
If you fall, or if the Raiders move up, this means no more Derek Carr in Oakland, presumably,
no,
right?
No, sir.
All right, I mean, so how would we feel? I guess Kyler Murray with Antonio Brown seems like a seems pretty good, right?
I mean, that would be a better situation than Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, as much as I kind of have bagged on Gruden, I still have no clue what I'm invested in Cliff Kingsbury, but I have no clue what he's going to do either. So
I think that's part of it, is that the top of this draft has a lot of wild cards, right? Like, we have no idea what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do. Oakland, you've got the wild card of John Gruden. You've got Mike Mayock there, who's actually in a war room for the first time after being on TV for so many years. There's just so many unknowns right now.
And this is one of the best defensive line classes we've seen in the last 10 years. I mean, there's literally you can make a case for six or seven.
The first round is going to be very uneventful from a fantasy perspective.
A lot of defense.
Yeah, to be honest, the first round on Thursday, you can pretty much just take the date off. Like if you're just watching it for skill positions, you may or may not get
one running back draft.
You'll get a quarterback. You'll get some quarterbacks.
You may not get more than three wide receivers in the first round.
Yeah.
Two tight ends, potentially.
Yeah.
Maybe a third, but I would say two.
As much as I do love this receiver class, I mean, the more mocks and stuff that I've read of people that are actually connected, like, it seems like it's only maybe one or two receivers.
Right. That's it. So, like, guys like Hakeem Butler, you know, they're going to end up being second or third round picks. There's going to be some of those wide receivers out there.
Well, now it sounds like Dwayne Haskins is falling out of the first round, right? Like, is the little bit of buzz that he had maybe February and March around the combine, it's kind of petered out, and now people are really pushing Drew Locke and Daniel Jones all of a sudden. They're both going to the draft. Haskins is staying home. Like,
right. Well, DJ had the Giants taking, I think,
Daniel Jones over Haskins.
Daniel Jones to the Giants is kind of the new hotness right now. Mm-hmm. But so, I mean, since we brought it up, so let's see with Dwayne Haskins, right? Like, this is the guy that for months was considered the number two quarterback in this draft behind Kyler Murray. And it seemed as though he was ticketed for New York. Like, he was going to hit the Giants roster. Now, if that's not happening, I mean, where is he a fit? I mean, this is a guy who is sort of your classic big pocket passer arm guy. He's not super mobile. You know, he's got a lot of, as they say, arm talent, what have you. I don't know where he fits necessarily in a league that it's hard to be a statue in the pocket and be successful now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's still plenty of teams that need a quarterback. The Broncos need a quarterback.
I think the Broncos
the Redskins.
The Broncos are in prime position to get one of these guys.
How tall? I'm going to look up how tall Dwayne Haskins is, because that will determine whether or not they have any interest in him. They're in Denver. 6'3".
Yeah, that's the cutoff.
Yeah, so he might just make it. Yeah. You know,
Bengals could be looking
to
replace Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I get the feeling that Dwayne Haskins, there may not be a spot for him where he comes in and maybe starts right away. You know, like, I feel like with this group, you know,
regardless of where Kyler Murray goes, he's going to start.
He's going to start. Kyler is going to start. Yep. I don't know that Dwayne Haskins is necessarily, you know, just locked into a starting spot wherever he goes, especially because the teams we keep linking him to have guys that, at least for now, they're comfortable with in a starting position, right? I mean, look, the Giants obviously are committed to Eli Manning for the short term.
Sorry, Eddie.
The Bengals, you know, look, at some point, yeah, they're going to move on from Andy Dalton. But for now, he's their starting quarterback. Like, all these teams, I mean, unless somehow the Raiders decide they really need this guy and they're going to move Derek Carr for him, which I don't see. I just don't know that Dwayne Haskins is a starter, barring injury, in year one.
No, and if you look at DJ's mock draft, I mean, all but Murray at the quarterback position in terms of round one quarterbacks, they're going to be playing behind a veteran for a year or two.
Miami's a super interesting wild card, I think, at 13.
You know what? Miami, he could go in there and start in Miami.
Because...
No! Listen, Ryan... don't you know that it is contractually obligated by any team that signs Ryan Fitzpatrick
he
needs to start?
Oh, no, he will start. Ryan... No, Fitzpatrick will start.
Did you see the pictures of Fitzpatrick?
He's been eating birthday cake.
He blamed it on birthday cake.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That can definitely do it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Absolutely.
But no, I mean, look, Ryan Fitzpatrick will get his starts, but, you know, in Miami, where obviously they are rebuilding, right? They're trying to set something up for years to come.
Yeah.
I could see a situation where Dwayne Haskins midway through the year.
No
hey,
doubt.
Let's throw him in there and see what he can do.
That's another team that needs a quarterback.
Drew Lock. You know, I felt like a year ago, Drew Lock was getting a lot more buzz. I mean, now it's started to pick up a little bit, but I felt like coming into last college football season, everybody was talking about Drew Lock as potentially being maybe the top quarterback off the board. Kyler Murray goes berserk, wins a Heisman Trophy. Now he's the top of the draft. I feel like Drew Lock may be a little bit underrated. He's one of those guys who maybe is never a superstar, but somehow hangs around this league for years because he's just good enough. But I don't know what that does in terms of his draft position, in terms of his draft stock, or what it does, you know, in terms of him getting on the field this year.
Yeah. DJ's got him falling all the way to the Packers.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's the thing I've come back to is like, why, you know, like.
What Daniel, about the Patriots?
Daniel Jones, I can understand going to the first round, but like Locke being at the draft too, I mean.
But you know, dude, like these NFL teams, do you know how many, and you know, I am not a scout. I don't tell people that I'm a scout. But, like, when, you know, teams draft freaking Christian Ponder in the first round, like, I'm smart enough to know that's not going to work. When the Bengals drafted Akili Smith, I'm like, that's not going to work. I you know, like, Kyle Bowler, it just wasn't going to work. Like, some of these quarterbacks, teams will reach for them in the first round. And so that's why I believe Locke is maybe not a lock to go in the first round, but he's got a pretty damn good shot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
teams reach for quarterbacks,
all
man.
The time. It's just so funny.
All
it's,
the time.
It's so funny that we were in December and January, like a lot of the really sharp people who have been following the draft and following these prospects for a lot longer than we have all said this is a weak quarterback class, and now we're a week away
you know
from
what?
The draft, and we're all sitting here like, oh my God, Drew Lock is a first-round pick this year.
I was
like,
just, you know, it's funny, I was just going to say that because I feel like we do this every year.
Every year
this happens. But I think part of it is because, one, it's these 6 weeks between the combine and the draft.
Yeah.
All we have time to do is talk and study and break down every. And so what happens is you get a lot of people, especially now, I think with social media and Twitter, where somebody puts out some clips, you know, a thread of clips of a certain guy, and you start to talk yourself into believing maybe this guy is better than we thought he was. When look, we haven't played a college football game since January.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we do this every year, and it's happening again.
I forgot to mention another one, EJ Manuel.
Yeah, oh, that was.
Well,
NFL teams go gaga over these quarterbacks, and they draft them too high, and a lot of times it doesn't work out.
Yeah, we'll see. So Daniel Jones, and this is a guy that nobody's really talking about, you know, until maybe a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, I guess. He's another one of those guys that I think we have talked ourselves into thinking this is a first-round guy. I don't know. I really don't know what to say about Daniel, other than it looks like the Giants may be interested. I don't know.
My thing on Daniel Jones is it's been kind of hard from my perspective to really get a read on who he is because his supporting cast at Duke was egregiously bad.
Right.
Egregiously bad. I mean, they dropped nearly 10% of his passes last year. That's mind-boggling bad.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are—they're going to have draft capital. I mean, they're going to get a chance. Locke and Jones are going to get overdrafted, and they're going to have a chance to start very early on. And but for fantasy, for us, like,
so is Daniel Jones? Because I you know your description, which is accurate about Duke and their receiver struggling. Is this a redo of Josh Allen? I mean, is this that we're talking about? Like, is this because that was, you know, for everybody who said that, you know, Josh Allen struggled with accuracy. There were people who defended him saying, well, his wide receivers weren't very good.
The biggest difference, obviously, is Josh Allen coming out. Even I didn't know he was that good of a scrambler. I didn't think he'd, you know.
I don't think anybody knew.
I don't think anybody knew he was as good as he was, but he's far, far more mobile than Jones. And, I mean, he's arguably a very explosive runner, Josh Allen is. Daniel Jones is not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a different type of prospect, but yeah, the factors of just supporting cast are tough. I don't know, man. There's just so many teams in that like 10 to, or even the Giants, frankly, the Giants with the two first round picks. I mean, there's just three, four teams, the Dolphins, that they're just wild cards, and I have no idea if they're willing to overspend for a quarterback.
Yeah, well, we'll find out about a week from now. Looking over to the tight ends real quick, there's really only three that are worth talking about. TJ Hockenson, Irv Smith, Noah Fant. Fant is the guy that I have sort of been in love with. I know a lot of people love Hockenson. Understandably, he's an outstanding blocker as well. I look at Noah Fant and I see Evan Engram. I see, you know, just kind of that new breed of tight end that is sort of, you know, you're a wide receiver in a slightly bigger body and just kind of cause matchup problems. And he's the guy that I would love to see him, you know, in a place like Green Bay or somewhere like that. Cause I think he's one of those rare guys that we're seeing a little bit more and more that could maybe make a dent as a rookie at the tight end spot, just because they're only asking him to run routes. He's not even asked to be a blocker. So he's the guy that I've kind of, he's the guy that I've zeroed in on.
I think Hockenson's going to end up being the first tight end drafted.
Agreed.
He's got way better hands. Per Pro Football Focus, he dropped just one of 51 catchable targets at Iowa. And Fant's, his downfall has been dropped passes. He dropped 11 passes on 80 catchable balls since 2017. So you're going to see two Iowa tight ends go in the first round, and that'll be the first time that ever happens, that the same school is going to have two tight ends go in the first
round.
That's
wild.
And both of them, like, I mean, Oakland. I mean, if you go Fant to Oakland, I don't think Hockens is going to last that long. But Fant to the Raiders, who have a need at tight end because Jared Cook is now with the New Orleans.
Because everyone's fantasy hero, Jared Cook, is going on.
I know, right?
And Jared Cook's gone from a zero to a hero in 1 year.
Yeah. Hockenson could like end up with, you know, potentially Buffalo, maybe yeah. Jacksonville. He's going to get drafted in the top 15, whereas I think Fant's going to fall to the second half of the first round.
So that's one, again, the tight ends, we know that, you know, it's not.
We could be seeing the beginning of the rebirth of the tight end position.
Yeah. I think so.
One name real quick before we move on to GOT is I want to mention Jay Sternberger among tight ends.
Yep.
He's my tight end four. Led Texas A&M last year in receiving yards with 832, caught 10 touchdowns, averaged over 17 yards per reception. After he transferred from Kansas, took a year off, didn't play at Kansas, played 1 year at Texas A&M and shredded. He's a tight end I'm tabbing in a lot of my dynasty leagues, and one I'm very interested to see where he goes, hopefully in that second, third round range.
Right.
And we can maybe even plug him in as a back end, like week 14, week 15, he kind of comes around and maybe he produces a rookie too.
When we're all digging on the waiver wire, trying to find some kind of
and
help.
Ian Thomas, your boy.
trying to
boy
find some Ian sort of Thomas help on there. The waiver wire. So, by the way, this is a good time to remind you that we will have two podcasts next week. We will do one a day early on Tuesday to kind of give you a little chance to digest it before the draft starts on Thursday. And then we will come back on Friday and record a second one, which will sort of recap the first day, which, as Fabs mentioned, may not be a whole lot for us to talk about if it ends up being as defensive heavy as we think.
If we get a Rashad Penny style pick again,
that's true.
Back into the first round, mm-hmm. then we'll definitely have something to talk about.
That is true. So, but anyway, get yourself ready. We will have a pair of pods next week, Tuesday and Friday, as we get ready for the start of the draft and get ready to talk about the first day of the draft. It can be a little frustrating, especially if you're in a hurry or running late, to find yourself at a railway crossing waiting for a train. And if the signals are going and the train's not even there yet, you can feel a bit tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Well, don't ever. Trains are going a lot faster than you expect them to be, and they can't stop. So even if the engineer hits the brakes right away, it can take a train over a mile to stop. By that time, what used to be your car is just a crushed hunk of metal, and what used to be you, well, don't want to think about that. So the point is, you can't know how quickly the train will arrive. The train can't stop even if it sees you. The result is disaster. If the signals are on, the train is on its way, and you just need to remember one thing: stop, because trains can't. All right, mentioned at the top of the show, we are a Game of Thrones stan podcast. You've probably known that if you've been listening the last few weeks. So this is our moment to talk about it. So if you have not listened, if you've not watched it, rather, you can turn this off because...
The hell are you waiting for?
Well, yeah, what are you waiting for? But there will be spoilers, just letting you know that. And if you're not into Game of Thrones, well, you know, thanks for coming. We'll talk to you next week. Winterfell. I know that I know a lot of folks, Eddie, I saw your social media. I know, Fabs, you mentioned it. And a lot of folks didn't love this episode. It was
fine.
I watched it three times. Same, yeah. The one thing I didn't like was that it was like only, 50 or 55
minutes. It was like an hour.
It was 54 minutes. The next episode this upcoming Sunday is 58, and then the rest are all over an hour.
Like, I get that, you know, you've got to sort of show all of the people who haven't seen each other for so long reunite.
Or never met.
Huh?
Or never met.
Right.
Right.
And correct,
that was,
correct.
That
correct.
Was what was cool to me is that you had people who kind of only knew of each other through legend and story. Yep. Kind of like, you know, like the Daenerys, Sansa, you know, like Real Housewives of Westeros kind of moment there. Like, I thought that was kind of fun, you know?
One thing I didn't like about the episode was like, oh, they're flying dragons. They look how cute they are. They're a little relationship, you know?
Yeah,
dragons. Number one.
The Aladdin, the whole new world thing.
The way that those dragons drop and bank, both of them are falling off. Don't give me that. Jon Snow's never ridden a dragon before. That sucker goes down like how fast, and he's not falling off that thing. Come on. And then the dragon looking at Jon Snow while he's got one eye open because he's kissing their mom. And the dragon, I feel like, you know, what's he thinking? You know, you're kissing your aunt, dude.
Yeah.
The
scene was poorly done, but I think
it was weird.
They had to show Jon riding the dragon because, like what you just said, if he hops on a dragon in a later episode, people are going to think like,
I feel like there could, I don't know.
But also because they have to show that he's Targaryen. That's the only people that can ride a dragon are Targaryen. So they have to show him on it to be that.
Right, right.
Even
though
5 minutes later, they explain his lineage anyway. But
yeah,
that was that to me kind of bombed that scene.
Yeah, it was like, you know, I will say this. It wasn't as bad as the Meadow Frolic in episode 2. Attack of the Clones.
Oh.
If we want to do like, but
I mean, that was, I always, oh,
I,
that was
I
awful.
Legitimately forget about Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, it's there's for good reason.
Yeah.
But
it's terrible.
You know, and of course, I think it all boils to the very end scene with
Jamie and Bran.
The Jamie and Bran stare down, which was amazing because I honestly had forgotten that they haven't interacted since the very first episode of the show. You know, so that was kind of a fun reminder. I just want to go around the horn. Does anybody have like a favorite, particularly favorite quote or a moment from the first episode?
Well, the best quote was, of course, "What do dragons eat? Anything they want. Anything they want." That was kind of funny. That was an LOL for me. Ed Art.
The moments that I took away the biggest plot points, I guess, would be one with Cersei. Like, is she pregnant or is she faking it? I'd say two would be Arya's super weapon to see
what that potentially is.
It's some kind of like dragon, dragon glass, like harpoon, like shooting spear thing that could play a major role later on. And I guess the third point, they kind of started a little bit with like Sam, how he was talking to Jon about, you know, is she going to give up? Is Dany going to give up the throne? And then Arya says like, you know, family first. They're setting up and the ultimate, like, you know, Jon versus Daenerys battle that will eventually happen in, I guess, episodes 4 to 6. I think that's it's cool they already started then sprinkling that in, right? You know, they just get to Winterfell, like, we have a battle coming, but it's like it's almost seeing past the battle versus the White Walkers, like, oh, the more important battle is coming up next, and I think it's cool they started that. So those are the three positive takeaway from that episode.
So as the Game of Thrones expert here, so, you know, Sam goes and tells Jon about his lineage and that he is the true heir to the Seven Kingdoms. Sure. Do you think Jon's figured out that I was hooking up with my aunt?
I don't know if he's put that together.
Do you think he's put that together? And if he has, that's a really awkward conversation the next time he sees Daenerys.
I think we'll probably get something of that in episode 2. I think this upcoming Sunday, they're going to address. Like, it will be some kind of moment. Yeah.
I mean, hey, man, Luke and Leia made out. Whatever, man.
That wasn't making out. That was just a kiss.
It happened.
Leia was trying to make Han jealous. That's all.
It happens.
That's all.
I mean, again, not to be gross, too, but like the Targaryens keep it in the bloodline.
Yeah.
And the Lannisters have in recent time during this
So I guess, like, you know, aunt and nephew's not as bad as brother and sister.
Right. Yeah. If anything, it'll be accepted.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my biggest takeaway too. Your first one about Cersei is she's so vindictive and cruel.
Mm-hmm.
Could she be lying about even being pregnant? Is she actually pregnant with Jaime's child?
Right.
I mean,
oh no. See, what I honestly believe she is pregnant, and she is setting up Euron, who she slept with.
Yeah. Right.
He makes the comment of, "I want to put a prince in your belly," and she kind of just looks and like. So I'm expecting she will hold this child over his head. For some, whatever purpose.
I understand that a lot of people were frustrated that they kind of just caught up a bunch of characters and there wasn't... The only real thing that it kind of frustrated me with the episode is there's no... We waited a year and a half for basically, like, just a one-hour-long catch-up episode of stuff we already knew.
I agree. And that's what I told you, Marcus, too. I said the one thing I'm really afraid of is, like, the laying the foundation first episode. You said they'll hit the ground running. And you're right. They have to kind of do it to show these unions that they've never had before. But the entire episode was just, like, people... Like, either people hugging or people giving, like, funny quips back and forth.
Like Danny and Sam meeting for the first time and Danny being like, "Yeah, I killed your brother."
Yeah.
Like, that was a pretty badass scene. And that was one that needed to happen, but like the little like kind of wasted moments between Tyrion and
there were definitely wasted scenes, but there are even like that scene though that has a part to it that could play something later on, like, but because Jorah's there, he asks about the sword, like Sam's gonna end up giving him Heartsbane, which is a Valyrian steel sword. Like Jorah will probably use that versus the White Walkers. Like there are little context clues in each one.
Ultimately, I think we'll look back like in a couple years when we're probably rewatching this again. We'll look back.
It's fine. Yeah,
we'll look back finally on this first episode and be like, "Yeah, it's kind of actually nice to have all this catch up and all these storylines catch up."
I mean, I looked at it as, we know what's been going on with all these characters, but these characters don't know what's been going on with each other.
Yeah, and speaking of Tyrion too, I mean, one of Sansa's quotes was that, you know, "I used to believe that you were, you know, the cleverest
man alive."
Yeah, that was
alive. Can he be that dumb to think that Cersei's going to bring?
I don't know if he's that dumb. I think he's
the
just
Lannister
desperate.
Army to win. I mean,
I think he's just desperate.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's half desperate, half like, "Well, it is my sister." Like, still part of it is like, "Oh, she might do this right because, like, she saw like one of the undead like running at her. Like, she has to think, oh, this is way worse than what I want to do." But Cersei does not care.
If you ever notice, Tyrion tries to be a pessimist deep down, but at heart, I think he's really an optimist.
Right. And then we're talking to Sansa, who was trained by Littlefinger, Cersei, and Ramsay. So she's literally the three worst characters that she was, like, she's molded into, like, this hardened, like,
you know,
super
what, though?
Smart person.
If Game of Thrones were, like, fantasy rankings, Sansa's moving up, man.
I think so, too.
She's moving up, dude.
She's my pick to be, not honestly, on the throne, because I'm not sure if there's going to be a throne, but she is my pick to be leader at the end of it.
But that's a great point, too. Like, the characters that she's been in relationships with have all been
horrific people.
Awful. Monsters.
She's had some rough luck with marriage.
It's a great story.
Outside of being married to Tyrion, which was, you know, not really so much of a marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Joffrey, who was a little, you know, bastard.
Sure.
And then you've got Bolton was worse.
Yeah, Ramsay, definitely worse.
You know, and then Littlefinger,
you know played a part in killing her father. And then you have Cersei, who's literally the worst character in the whole entire, even worse than the Night King.
She's had some rough marriages there.
Her story arc's great. I think it's probably my second favorite behind Jaime's.
Well,
I think Jaime's is the best.
She's the one who's become most disillusioned, I guess. Like, she very much, I think when the show started, she wanted to be a princess. She wanted to be a queen.
Sure.
She wanted all the fancy things.
Yep.
And life has kicked her in the stomach repeatedly.
Yes. I mean,
to keep advancing it, too, like, and there's going to be another, there's still one more big meetup that we're going to have in episode two, which is Daenerys seeing Jaime for the first time, who kind of showed up, like, in half disguise, like, with the hood and, like, darker hair.
And the king, but we'll have to go through the Kingslayer.
So she's going to, you know, rip him a new one, and he's going to be like, you know, I guess what's done is done, but I'm here to help you now. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a really interesting scene, I think, because I do believe that Jaime is fully good now and wants to do the right thing. He's also my pick to kill the Night King.
Cersei. What about Cersei? Don't you think he's going to kill her?
I don't think he's going to get the chance.
No?
I don't think he'll get the chance either.
I think it's going to be Arya wearing his face.
And she's
going to get the ultimate kill, because I think that's... I don't see Arya playing a huge deal in, like, the ultimate battle.
The major war. Right?
I think she's just more of, like, an assassin, like a stealth kind of killer, and she'll find a way to get close enough to Cersei without the Mountain, you know, being around, and she'll do the deed. But I think that Jaime ultimately will probably perish before he gets the chance to get back to King's Landing and see Cersei.
Also, because someone's got to eventually avenge Ned Stark's death.
Right.
Someone's got to avenge Ned.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so that's how it happens.
Yeah, and real quick before we go.
Yeah.
Star Wars trailer.
It was great.
It was fantastic.
Very, very good.
Excited.
Very, very good.
Very excited.
Palpatine.
Yeah, he's back.
He's back.
Lando's back wearing the same outfit that he was wearing, you know, 30
years. Well, you know, do they have tailors in space? Because they had to take that one out a little bit. Right?
I mean, you know, right, exactly. Like, you know, he's got old man fat, and he's still wearing the same outfit, you know. But it was good to see Lando come back.
Yeah, it was.
And
I
saw Shazam recently. I recommend that. I know we do a little bit of movie talk too.
Yeah.
Go see Shazam.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go.
I saw Pet Sematary.
I didn't have any expectations going in. I read the, when I first saw the trailer, that is, I saw the reviews, and I was like, this is incredibly high for this movie that I did not think twice about. And I saw it, and I was like, arguably the most enjoyable superhero movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, so that
ever seen?
Yeah,
really.
Ever seen?
So it's like a good mix of kind of like Stranger Things in the way where the kids are leading the cast. They're really, really funny. But the guy, Zachary Levi, I think his name is, who plays him, like, he's awesome in it. And the story has like a twist, like a mini twist at the end, a positive twist that I did not see coming and I thought was awesome. And there, it leads nicely into the next one. I think The Rock's going to be in the next one too, because he was an executive producer of this one.
Because I think Black Adam is the next
one. Exactly. Yeah. And it's, they tied together. Like, it was really, really good. The storyline's great. I loved it. Really did love it.
All right. Maybe I'll take Matthew to that.
Sounds pretty good. All right. That's it. We are done. Appreciate you, as always, listening. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, never make the same mistake twice. Make it five or six times just to be sure. We'll see you on Tuesday.